Please take your Bibles now and let's stand as we turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We are beginning to read the chapter that deals most specifically with Melchizedek. Twice already, the author to the Hebrews has mentioned Melchizedek, has laid the foundation for what he's about to say, and now we come to a discussion of Melchizedek and why he is important in his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll read the first 10 verses of the chapter today. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. This is God's holy word. Let's recall once again what's happening that occasioned the writing of this letter to the Hebrews. There were some Jewish Christians who had come out of Judaism, who had professed openly faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and who now, for whatever reason, are being tempted to give up on the Lord Jesus Christ and to return to Judaism. Maybe they've been told that persecution is coming. Maybe they have been told that they can have everything that Christ offers without persecution if they will simply come back to the Jewish faith or come to a form of the Jewish faith that the Essene community was teaching. Whatever the occasion happens to be, these folks are wavering in their devotion to Christ. They are standing on the threshold of the church of the Lord Jesus, and they're questioning whether to go in fully or whether to recoil and return in the direction that they've come. And so what the author to the Hebrews is telling these people is that you can't go back. You can't leave Christ. If you leave Christ, and the whole letter, the whole book is about this, if you leave Christ, you give up any sacrifice for sins, and in particular, as he mentions here, you lose a great high priest. And so he's comparing Melchizedek with Jesus in this chapter, and he's explaining to them that Christ has become, as we saw at the end of chapter 6, Christ has become a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you give up on Christ, you have no genuine priest because Christ is greater than the priesthood of the Old Testament. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham and Levi. And so Melchizedek is introduced here finally and introduced in such a way that we see him as being an unusual character. What's mentioned here is something almost like a sermon based on Genesis chapter 14. You remember what happened back then. Lot had chosen to live in the city of Sodom, and Abraham was not there. And some Canaanite kings came, and they raided Sodom, and they carried Lot and his family and his goods off with them, and they departed. And so Abraham got together 300 armed men from his household. He had a little militia of his own there. Imagine having a household with 300 soldiers in it. And he also talked to the king of Sodom and to some other kings, and they gave chase. And they finally met for battle, and it was the battle of the four kings versus the five kings. And the Canaanites who had captured Lot were defeated. Lot is rescued. His whole family is rescued. His goods are rescued. And they also plundered the Canaanites who had taken him prisoner. And now Abraham and Lot and all of these folks are returning from the battle rejoicing. And they happen to go near a little place that's called Salem, an area that's called Salem, where in the future a town by the name of Jerusalem will be built. And out comes this man from Salem, who is described as Melchizedek, priest of God Most High, King of Righteousness, and King of Peace. Who is this Melchizedek? Well, first thing that's mentioned is he is priest of God Most High. Notice that it doesn't say a priest, it doesn't say the priest, it simply says priest of God Most High. This is long before the establishment of the Levitical priesthood. Remember, this is Abraham that we're talking about here. Isaac has not been born, and Jacob has not been born, and Levi has not been born, and the sons of Levi have not been born. And so we're looking at the great-grandfather of Levi and the establishment of the priesthood in Levi's day. And so, obviously, there's no priesthood like that on the face of the earth yet. But there is a man who is described as priest of God Most High. Well, what God is this? When Abraham talks to the king of Sodom, he describes the God whom he worships as God Most High. And so, this is the God of Abraham that Melchizedek is priest of. This is the true God of the Bible. He's called God Most High, not because there are lots of gods and he's the best one, but he's called God Most High to describe the fact that he is sovereign over all of creation. There is no God who could ever possibly exist, and none do, except the true God, and he is sovereign over all. There is no one greater than he is. He is God over all. He is God Most High. And here comes a man who is priest of this true and living God. He's not a local priest. He's not a national priest, as the Levites will one day be, priests for the nation of Israel. His priesthood is a universal priesthood. And so Melchizedek comes on the scene as priest of the true and the living and the only God, the sovereign God of all creation. Then he's described by his name. What does Melchizedek mean? Well, it comes from two Hebrew words, Melech, which means king, and Tzedek, which means righteousness. And so he is king of righteousness. That's what his name means. That's who he is. And that's pointed out by the author of the Hebrews as one of the most important things that you need to know about this man. He is the king of righteousness, as his name describes him. And then there's something else important. He is also called the king of Salem, the king of peace, because Salem is like the Hebrew word, or comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. And here is this man who is the king of righteousness, and he is the king of peace as well. If you read some of the commentaries, this is the place where they begin to say, is Melchizedek a theophany? Now, you'll recall that term theophany means an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament prior to his permanent incarnation in the New Testament. The answer, short answer, is no, he's not. This is not an appearance of Christ. Melchizedek is not an appearance of Christ, but what is said here is Melchizedek is like Jesus. He is like the Son of God. And so he appears as a universal priest. He appears as a priest who represents the eternal God and represents Christ, who is the eternal priest. Priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, and Melchizedek is greater than Levon. Those are two things that are taught here. How do we know that? Well, we see in the next verse, in verse 4, that it says, "See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils." And then he goes on and talks about the descendants of Levi being the ones who received the tithes from the children of Israel. Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham, and he blessed Abraham in return. And so in two things, his receiving the tithes and his blessing of Abraham, we see that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Abraham is a tremendous character when you read about him in Scripture. In the Old Testament, when you meet him, God says to him, one of the first things he says, I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. And of course, that's in his seed, Jesus Christ. And so God blessed Abraham and said that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And yet here, Abraham, who is great, who's the father of the faithful, the Apostle Paul in Romans points out that all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, all of us who have faith in Christ are spiritual descendants of Abraham. So Abraham is an important guy in the Old Testament, very important character. The father of the faithful. A man blessed by God in a tremendous way. And here comes somebody else who blesses the one who blesses all nations. The point, and this, you know, God blessed Abraham. The point is, if Melchizedek blessed Abraham, that shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Melchizedek also received tithes from Abraham. Now, this was before the law was established on Mount Sinai, many years before. This was before there was ever a Levitical priesthood. Now, remember, Abraham's the great-grandfather of Levi. Levi's not on the scene yet. Melchizedek, as priest, receives tithes from the one who is about to become the great-grandfather of the tribe that will receive tithes. And so these tithes that Abraham gives to Melchizedek are not a legal requirement. The law hadn't even been given yet to require tithing in this way to anyone. And there's no law in Scripture that says that Melchizedek was supposed to receive the tithe. So why did Abraham give it? He gave a tithe to show how grateful he was to the true God. Here's the man who is priest of God Most High. Here is Abraham, who is a worshiper and a follower of God Most High, whom God Most High has said, I will bless you and all the nations of the earth in you and through you. And so what Abraham does, having come back from the battle, having rescued Lot, having beaten the Canaanite kings who had taken Lot captive, Abraham is rejoicing in God Most High. Abraham is thankful that God has delivered him and Lot, and Abraham, out of gratitude, gives a thank offering. And his thank offering happens to be 10% of all the spoil that he had taken from the Canaanite kings. It's given out of a thankful heart in gratitude for what God has done in delivering Lot and his family and Abraham and his family from the hands of these enemy kings. Melchizedek is an interesting character because what is said about him next is this man doesn't have a genealogy. Here he is, priest of God Most High, but there's no mention of father or mother or genealogy. And that's unusual in Scripture. Because in the Old Testament, your lineage was extremely important. Most of the important characters in the Old Testament are described as being descendants of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And you've got a long lineage. When you get to the New Testament, look at the introduction of Jesus. It takes him all the way back to Adam and lists everyone that's in his line up until the time that Christ is born. It's an important thing to have a genealogy. It's an important thing to know who your mom and dad are in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Melchizedek doesn't. He just pops up on the scene in Genesis 14. There he is, comes out of the city. I'm Melchizedek. And then when Genesis 14 is gone, no more Melchizedek, except for one mention in the Old Testament, in Psalm 110, verse 4, where God promises to his son, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which is what this really is a sermon about in Hebrews. So, Melchizedek comes on the scene. We don't know his father. We don't know his mother. We don't know any genealogy about him. We don't know how long he lived. We don't know when he died or where he died or any children that he had. It's Melchizedek, and that's all. And so what happens is Melchizedek represents an eternal figure. Let's not forget just how important that is and how important it was, like I said, to have a genealogy. After the Babylonian captivity, when the Levites were coming back to Jerusalem, some of these Levites wanted to enter into the priesthood. And genealogical records were checked. And there were some folks who couldn't prove that they were descended from Levi. And so in Nehemiah chapter 7, after a list of returnees who cannot prove their lineage, it says this: these sought their registration among those enrolled in the genealogies, but it was not found there, so they were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. So if a man could not prove he was descended from Levi, he could not be a priest according to the tribe of Levi. Melchizedek's an entirely different figure, and his priesthood is an entirely different priesthood, and it is pointed to Christ. Melchizedek, no genealogy. Melchizedek, no father, no mother, no descendants. Melchizedek has an eternal priesthood, not dependent upon lineage to Levi. And in fact, you can say, and the writer of the Hebrews does, he says, you know, when you think about it even, Levi, who hasn't been born yet, actually paid tithes to Melchizedek because his grandfather Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And this is a headship thing, a family headship thing, a federal headship thing. And therefore, what's being said that is important is that the priesthood of Melchizedek is greater than the priesthood of Levi. That's the point that's being made. Levites were born, lived, served, died, replaced by other Levites who were born, lived, served, and died. But nothing is said in Scripture about the life and death of Melchizedek. And so he remains on the pages of the Bible as priest forever. And as such, and here's where it gets important, he represents Jesus. So let's think for just a minute as we conclude this. Five things that are true about Melchizedek that point to Christ. Look at verse 3. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. What five things are true about Melchizedek from this chapter that are true about Jesus? Well, the first thing is, Melchizedek is the one who blesses Abraham, and he points forward to Jesus as the one who blesses us. Melchizedek blessed Abraham as a superior blesses an inferior. And what he is doing is he's representing to us one who blesses us, one who blesses all who call upon his name. Jesus is the one who blesses those who turn to him for salvation, Jesus is the one who has the blessing of God to give to you and to me. And so you who need to be blessed by God, you who need to have all of your life and all of your endeavors brought under the control and the hand of Almighty God, you who need to be blessed by God, you must flee to Jesus. And Jesus is the one who blesses His people. He blesses our endeavors. Jesus Christ is the one that blesses in a greater way than Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Jesus is the one also who is worthy of all devotion. Melchizedek represents that. He received tithes from Abraham. He represents one who was worthy of receiving all of life and all of devotion. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, far beyond Melchizedek, He is the one who is worthy of all praise and all service, both in earth and in heaven. In Revelation 5, we read this: "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" And so it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you and I are to worship. It is the Lord Jesus Christ through whom we can serve God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ to whom you must go and may go to find the one who is worthy of all praise and all devotion and all service. Melchizedek represents that by receiving tithes from Abraham, but it is Christ who is worthy of all your devotion and all your service. Melchizedek was king of righteousness, and as such, he represents the one to come who is righteousness itself. He represents the one who would provide righteousness for his people. Jesus is the true king of righteousness, for it is he who provides righteousness for us. And so you are in need of righteousness. And you are in need of that righteousness in order to be able to stand before a holy God. And in order to find that righteousness, you must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the very righteousness of God and provides His own righteousness for you. Romans 3. "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." And so, as you need righteousness, as you are lacking in any righteousness of your own, you must flee to Christ and find in Christ the righteousness of God provided for you by Him. Melchizedek was king of peace, king of Salem. He represents the one who would come and provide peace with God by His shed blood, and also, as a result of that, provide peace between you and your fellow Christians. You see, if you're at war with God, if you're at war with your neighbor, you must go to the one who provides peace with God and peace with your neighbor, and that is Jesus Christ alone. So Paul says in Romans 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He tells us in Ephesians that Christ has torn down the wall that divided Jew from Gentile and has made peace between the two. And so we have in Christ the one who provides peace, the one who creates peace, the one who is the peace of God between you and your Creator and between you and others as well. And finally, Melchizedek is priest of God Most High. And Jesus is the ultimate great high priest. It's already been said in Hebrews. I'm going to come back to it and talk about it in greater detail because it's very important to understand Christ as our great high priest. Melchizedek is priest of God Most High. His priesthood represents an eternal priesthood that ever lives to provide for the sins of His people. And that's Jesus, the one who one time for all offered the perfect sacrifice for sins. The sacrifice of Himself upon the cross. It's Christ who not only has offered that sacrifice, It's Christ who also lives forever and continues to intercede for you from the throne of God on high. And so, you need to have your sins paid for, and it's Christ who does that. You need to have yourself upheld in prayer all the time so that you might not fall into sin. And when you do fall into sin, that you might not be swept away, but be brought back to God. And you need to go to the one who is the eternal priest of His people, Jesus Christ. You need to go to Him to find forgiveness. You need to go to Him to find satisfaction for your sins. You need to go to Him to find sustaining help in time of need. And Christ is that great high priest. Romans 8, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And so Christ is all that you need. Melchizedek is like the Son of God, points to the Son of God. And all these things about Melchizedek are true in a greater measure of Jesus. He is the one who blesses you. You need blessing. He is the one who is worthy of all of your devotion and service. He is the one who is the King of righteousness and provides righteousness for you. He is the one who provides peace with God because He is the King of peace. And He is priest of God Most High. When you need to have forgiveness, when you need to have your sins cleansed, when you need to have help, Christ prays for you from the throne of God on high. Christ is greater than Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. Let's pray. Father, thank You for all that we've seen in this passage about this servant of Yours, Melchizedek, who indeed points to and is like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, how we thank You most of all that because He points forward to Christ, we see in Christ these wonderful things that are true. We see Him as our great King. We see Him as our great priest. We see Him as the one who provides all of our needs, the one who gives us His blessing, the one indeed who provides peace. Bless us, Father, to flee to Him and to find in Him all that is necessary, not only for life and godliness, but all that is necessary throughout all of our lives, that we might love You and serve You and worship You. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.